Good morning. We sang my song this morning, Let My Words Be Few. We want to make sure that this morning we keep Pastor Bill and Beth and Pastor Clay and Betty and Pastor Kevin and Margie in prayer as they all are traveling down to Florida for the pastor's conference. And I know Pastor, they're all traveling separately. Pastor Bill and Beth, I think, leave in about a half hour. I want to thank the worship team for bringing us to God's throne room today. The worship was really good. But it's always interesting to me when we come to church. I don't know if your family is like ours used to be when we had younger children, but sometimes you struggle to get everybody out the door, and things are hectic, and then you come and it's like, okay, now I got to worship. And we may have, you know, had a little spat with our spouse, and things just, we come in and we're just not ready. And I think we come with two different, from two different kind of places, I think. Sometimes we come and we just are coming and we're going to listen to the speaker. Whatever the speaker has to say, that's what we're going to hear. Or we come with the intention of hearing from God. If you came this morning to hear the speaker, you're going to be really disappointed. But if you came to hear from the Lord, I believe he'll meet you right where you are, and he'll show you something this morning. So we're going to look at a bit of a familiar passage of scripture out of Luke 10, and I pray that we all hear something from the Lord today. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that you're the God of the universe, and yet you still care about us. We thank you for this time we can be together, Lord. We pray that you would open our hearts to hear what you have for each one of us. Lord, settle our hearts and our minds. Give us what you want us to hear. And let anything that you don't want us to hear to just go in one ear and out the other. But God, be glorified, be magnified today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm sure that most of us have had times in our lives when, and maybe we still are struggling with it, but when we've been consumed with something. As I've shared before, I was consumed with baseball when I was younger. And I was so consumed with it that it was to a point where it was pretty unhealthy for me. And God needed to get my attention. And I believe that God, we either gently get our attention or he'll do something drastic to get our attention. But no matter what, at some point he's going to get our attention. It's kind of his promise to us that everyone we had the opportunity to receive him. And our issues could be anything from family to jobs to hobby to relationships to money. Pretty much anything that will take up most of our time and energy. And a lot of us have probably dealt with some of those things in our lives. And today we're going to take a small look at Mary and Martha and see how that plays out for them. So if you would turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, we're going to look at verses 38 to 42. Verse 38, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. So we see that Jesus and his friends show up at the home of Martha, and she welcomes him in and his friends and wants to make sure that everything is just so. Now, this is shortly after Jesus had sent the 70 out and they had returned. So some speculate that there could have been as many as 70 people here. So if 70 people came to your house and you welcomed them in and your sister just sat there, it'd probably be a little disturbing. But she runs around serving everyone. And I imagine she's trying to make sure everyone's comfortable and taken care of. But you know, it gets tiring. And I'm sure that she glanced over and gave Mary the look. But Mary has chosen to sit at Jesus' feet to hear what he has to say. So we look at Mary and we see a couple of things about her found in John chapter 11. And I'm going to read three verses that they're not all together. John 11, 1 and 2, and then verse 20. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary who had anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. So in these two passages, in the Luke passage and in this passage, we see that Martha basically owns the house. The house is Martha's. That's her domain. But the town is Mary's domain. Martha, being the keeper of the house, made sure it ran smoothly. But Mary, on the other hand, seems to be more of a socialite. The town is hers. And it's interesting how that happens a lot of times in families. And I'm a person that attributes that to first and second born, which is not necessarily always true. But I just remember when our boys were young, Nathan is my older son and Derek is my younger. And they went to one of Nathan's friends' house. And they got on the porch and Nathan was afraid to knock on the door. So he had Derek do it. And my sister and I are a little bit like Martha and Mary. She's more of a Martha and I'm more of a Mary. Growing up, she would spend more time around the house, and I was always out and about. I mean, even now, she invited us over for dinner on Friday, and we got there, and the table's all set just right, and everybody had their place, and she made a nice meal and dessert and made sure we were all taken care of. And my idea of having dinner with someone is going out to eat. Let's get out in the community. But Martha seemed more concerned about the home and what went on there. And Mary was a people person and probably knew everybody in the town, and everybody in the town knew her. So in the Luke passage, Martha comes to Jesus and basically tells him, "Would you please ask Mary to help me?" And she kind of comes with a "woe is me" kind of an attitude. But I love the response that Jesus gives her. And I think in his response, you can hear his love for her even as he's correcting her. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." He doesn't tell Martha that what she's doing is bad. He doesn't discount her feelings. But he does want her to know that there's really only one thing that's needed, and Mary has chosen that. In ministry, it can kind of be like that too sometimes. It's not that ministry is bad, but sometimes our motives for being involved in ministry can be a problem. If it's not all about Jesus, then there'll be issues. There'll be burnout. Because our eyes are on us instead of being on him. I know when I was doing youth ministry, I remember somebody saying that 20% of the church does 80% of the work. And I'm thankful that it's not that way here. I think it's more spread out here. But I also know that the heart of Pastor Bill is that everyone would have the opportunity to utilize their gifts and talents. But the thing is, if we're going to be involved in ministry, we probably shouldn't be complaining about it as we do it. But we should always do it as unto the Lord. And make sure that even in doing ministry, we take time to sit at Jesus' feet. Because that's the one thing that's needed. That's one of the things I love about the three of them going to the pastor's conference, because they can sit at Jesus' feet and be fed and poured into. But what is that one needed thing? I believe every human being needs to take care of their soul. But we can be kind of funny about that. When it comes to our soul, many of us think of eternity as something that's far away. When we're young and rebellious, we think, oh, we have time to get it together, maybe later. So many ignore taking care of their soul. Then we start a family and we have a job and wife and kids and we get super busy and think, we'll be fully devoted to the Lord when we get older and our kids are out of the house. Then we can serve. And then we get older and we feel like we're too tired to do too much. And young people won't listen to us anyhow. I remember my dad when he hit 90, we were talking one day and he said, I'm old and nobody cares what I think. Now I know that wasn't true, but it was how he felt. We need to remember that it's God's church and his desire is to use all of us. But we get caught up in our own thing and we forget what Jesus said in Matthew 16:26. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? When it comes down to it, the only thing that really matters is that one thing that's needed. What did you do with Jesus? We all need to answer that question for ourselves. It doesn't matter if your grandparents or your parents or your spouse are followers of Christ. God doesn't have any grandchildren, he just has children. So either you're his child or you're not. That's what it boils down to. So each of us have to answer that question individually. What did you do with Jesus? And when you think about it, one of the people in the Bible that wanted to know that was Nicodemus. In John 3:3, Jesus tells him, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus just tells them plain and simple. If you're not born again, you won't see the kingdom of God. So that tells us that in this life, there's one thing that we need to take care of. And he makes it plain and simple. He had to make it plain and simple for people like me, who kind of have a thick head sometimes. But he shows us his heart for mankind in John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God's heart is for all of us to know him. Amen. And if you're here today and you've never surrendered your life to Christ, with everything in me, I encourage you to do that this morning. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. More important than who you marry, where you live, how much money you make, and any other important decision that you think you have to make. There's no decision more important than that one. But one needed thing is not just for people who have never received Christ. It's for all of us. We all need to spend time at Jesus' feet daily. I know for myself and probably most of you, as good as the potluck was last Sunday, that wasn't the last meal I had. I've taken care of my physical needs by eating every day, probably more than I should. But that wasn't my last meal. And the question is, was last Sunday the last spiritual nourishment you took in? If taking in spiritual nourishment is the one needed thing, how many of us are starving today? I want to encourage you to make sure you're getting spiritual nourishment on a regular basis. If we're going to spend eternity with Christ, it'd probably be a good idea to get to know Him the best that we can. I know I don't want to get to heaven and be a stranger. The other thing is that it's not just something you put on your to-do list, but really taking in some nourishment. Hopefully, none of us survive only on junk food for our physical nourishment. We would not be very healthy. In the same way, we can't just blow through a chapter of God's Word and hope something sticks. We need to take time and ask Him what He's trying to say to us. We need to sit at His feet. Solomon put it well in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, when he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. Solomon, considered the wisest man to ever live, comes to that conclusion. Fear God, keep His commandments. When it comes down to it. That's what matters. This is man's all. So this morning, I pray that we all embrace that one needed thing. To pursue Jesus in our walk of life. Every aspect of our life. We're so good at compartmentalizing our lives. Sunday morning, Monday morning. Totally different person. No. Sunday morning, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, every morning we're the same person. God permeates all of us. You know, one of the things that I appreciate about Calvary Chapel of Oakland County is the way we go through the Bible verse by verse. And I know that the leadership here are some of the biggest cheerleaders that want to encourage you to seek that one needed thing. Each week, twice a week, we have the opportunity to sit at Jesus' feet as a fellowship. And that doesn't include the women's Bible studies, the men's prayer breakfast. There's opportunity to help you in your desire to sit at Jesus' feet. And I want to remind you, in case you're new here, or if you've been coming and don't know what's going on, after service, we have prayer partners up here, and they're here to pray for your needs or to pray with you. If you have been praying about something and you want somebody else to pray with you about that, come and pray. Because that's the heart of the leadership here. So let's pray, and I was right, let my words be few. You guys get to go early today. but let's pray. Father, you're so good, so gracious. Lord, we have so many things that run through our minds, so many things, responsibilities that we have to get done. But God, allow us to understand that one needed thing is to sit at your feet, to hear from you. God, I pray that you would be glorified in each one of us, that you would draw each one of us closer to yourself, that we might know you better. God, be glorified. And Lord, as we leave, we pray that you would use us to minister to those we come in contact with. Help us to be your hands and your feet in the world around us. We give you praise, honor, and glory because you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name.